Hello, this is Jim Thomas welcoming you to the Message Share Ministry of the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church located in Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania. The message you are about to hear was preached in a worship service. After some congregational singing, our speaker is William P. Robbins, who is a pastor and elder.
Studying the armor of God is that we might be able to stand, and it doesn't mean at one place. It has the idea of going and holding the fort. I would like to say, remember the Alamo. Remember the fellows at the Alamo? Well, that's what we're supposed to be as Christians. Stand. Don't withdraw. And so I want us to sing 477. Stand up for Jesus, and we'll do that at the last stanza, but let's turn to 477. Talk about the armor of God. We want to talk about the fourth piece of this armor that we have illustrated in a Roman soldier's life. The Apostle Paul being in prison and house arrest, he had these fellows sit beside him, and he certainly observed what they wore, and he thought, the Spirit of God says, okay, Paul, you know, you can take that which is literal and spiritualize it. And there's some great truths in these pieces of armor, and he would have us to understand them. You know, really, I really shouldn't have to even preach on it because it's pretty self-explanatory, but it's my job to open up the Word of God, and so I study to do that, and I hope the Lord will bless us. But it has the analogy that there's a war going on somewhere. Say, well, I know there's a war across. No, no, no. We're talking here there's a war going on. There's a spiritual warfare going on with these powers of darkness and principalities. And the darkness of this world, that is against the devil himself, and it's going on. But a lot of people don't even know what it's all about. So therefore, we need to try to explain it with our scriptures. And so here we are this morning. Metaphorically, we're to understand how this Roman soldier's armor, how it fits in spiritually with preparing us for to be able to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. Now, we've looked at the first three of these pieces of the armor. We looked at the belt of truth, and the belt of truth is necessary for if we have the truth of God, there's where we start. And then we talked also about the breastplate of righteousness that has to do with Christ's righteousness, but also there's a practical side, the right living on our part. And then we also had talked about the shoes of the sandals of the Roman soldier and how it applies to us, the shoes of the gospel of peace, going forth telling people about the precious gospel of the Lord Jesus. And now we have the need to understand these last three, which has to do with the shield of this morning, has to do with a helmet, and has to do also with a sword, a little a dagger type of a sword. It is the word of God. I suppose, as I have listed here, I just looking at my notes here. I know a guy says he's 20-some pages. I just have a few notes here, but don't be thinking that I won't be speaking about some things. It's pretty well condensed. But this is an armor that is spiritual. Don't get any ideas. You're going to go get a pair of these sandals. Don't get an idea. You're going to get a breastplate of righteousness. This is a spiritual armor, and God provides it. Yes, he does. He said it's the armor of God. It's God's armor for us. It's not a matter of you. It's a matter of God supplying this armor. But he have an obligation to know about it and apply it and use it and make sure we have put it on. The first three have to do basically with our salvation. And he does that. He gives us the truth, and he gives us his righteousness, and he gives us the gospel peace. Now the next three, these additional three, they're a little bit different. They're necessary to protect us from these evil spirits and also people. Not just evil spirits, but from people. And so we want to look at the shield this morning. It has to do the shield of faith. Well, that seems like maybe, what does it mean? You've all seen pictures, haven't you, in TV or in the newspaper, or when there's a mob that these fellows come out and some of them have shields, body shields, and they kind of hold it somehow. We have shields today. This isn't something old dry stuff way back there. There's shields today with those who are controlling mobs. And so here we have this shield. It's basically the same idea. It's the same in the Greek. It sounds almost like the word door, and it looks like a door. What? In the Roman soldier day, they had a shield that was 4 feet high, 2.5 feet wide, and it was... it was constructed. They constructed out of wood and glued it together. In those days, they had glue, too, fellas. They had glue, and they had leather on the front, and it was galvanized with metal round about it. Lined in the front with metal. Well, what do I care? Well, just so you might know that they used them in those days. You say, well, 4 foot wouldn't hold you, preacher. You're too big for 4 foot. But in the old days, people were smaller than we are today. It just surprised me when I go past the college and I see some of the young folk. They look like junior highs to me. But in the old days, they were smaller. During the Civil War, you look at the uniforms. When I was down to Richmond, Virginia, I went to their White House, and I couldn't believe how small their uniforms were. People were smaller. Maybe it's because of steroids or whatever they put in our food. I don't know, but we're bigger. Anyway, but a 4 foot shield, 2.5 foot wide, was enough to take care of most of these Roman soldiers. Now, what do I care about this? Well, the description of it is this: it was designed to deflect flaming arrows. Deflect, yeah. Well, what's a flaming arrow? It was a piece of cloth wrapped. And in this cloth, they wrapped around the iron head, the iron of the head, and they dip it in pitch and light it and fire it out there. Now listen, if you didn't have a shield, you wouldn't last, because it would burn everything. I mean, the pitch splatter around, it would burn you. You wouldn't have a chance at all to really fight if you didn't have this body shield. It's very, very important. I want you to see how it is important for us spiritually, a spiritual application. God says, I give you this armor, but it's spiritual armor now. So, Lord, I want to know about the spiritual armor that is referred to as a shield. And so it deflected flaming arrows? Yes. It was a shield of faith. We ought to look at that. And where are we? Verse 16 is where we are. We want to talk about this matter of standing, but we want above all, and that has the idea, not the topmost thing, but it is additionally to these first three, we need these three others to make up six pieces of this armor. And he says in verse 16, we need to take the shield of faith. The shield of faith. Now we get into some real present day problems when we start talking about faith. People talk about faith not the same way this is talking about it. We have those who would say, well, as far as faith is concerned, I have faith. You do? That's good. I have faith that everything's going to turn out okay. That's really not faith. That is more or less what we call blind faith. Oh, no problem. Everything's going to turn out okay. Now, wait a minute. This faith that God gives is not blind faith. It's faith in Him. I am the one, he said to David, he said, I am your shield. Remember David when he went to fight Goliath. What shield did he have? Come on now. Did he have a body shield? Nope. And the Bible says that God was his shield. Now, if you can understand that, as he stood before that giant of Goliath and God protected him and he took down that giant, God was the one who gave him that shield. He said, I'm your shield. And this is not some, you know, some people, they have what they call visualization. See, I've had people talk to me about visualization. You got to visualize things. Yep. And see, what are you visualizing? Well, be a home or a car. What? I visualize that I'm going to have a big Cadillac. You are. Where'd you get that? I'm just visualizing it that I'm going to get it. Oh, that's silly dilly kind of stuff, but that's what we have today. People talk about faith. I just have that confidence that I'm going to have this big Cadillac, or I have this confidence that I'm going to have this 2,000-acre farm. You do. Well, we're not talking along that route. You know, a sad story for you. My wife's mother was dying of bone cancer. And so I'm young in the Lord, and I kind of taken up, it wasn't TV in those days much, it was radio preachers. And there's one guy not too far from here, and he was telling how God can heal everybody, and he'd preach on the radio. And you know, I wasn't in a good church. But I'd listened to some of that stuff. You probably do too. And so I made it a point to go see him. Well, so what? And I said, now, you know, he's a healer. And so I said to him, I have a dear friend, and I wonder if you'll come and pray for her. I'll pay you, you know. And yeah, he said, I can arrange for that. Well, it would have delighted the whole family if she could have been cured of bone cancer. And so he came. And he prayed for her. Didn't do anything. You know what he said? He said, it's because you don't have faith. You know, I was just a young guy. I almost felt like wringing his neck. Listen, he's the healer. And if you say, God's given me the gift of healing, then why can't you heal then? Why don't you go to the hospital, go right down the aisle and heal these people if you're healing? Yeah, a lot of baloney, friends. You better get it straight. God does heal, but he's not doing it on an advertising situation, and it's in his great providence, and you can pray for people to be healed. In fact, you ought to anoint people if they desire to be helped physically. They ought to call for the elders, ask to be anointed and the hands laid on them, and pray that God would give them healing according to his will. But while you're praying, you better believe you can see that person well, and you have that confidence. I wasn't planning to say that, but I want to tell you, I was very disappointed to say it to my wife's mother. She was a godly person, loved the Lord with all of her heart. She was concerned for my soul, arranged for me to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Sure, I was churched, but I wasn't saved. She wanted to make sure I knew what it meant to be saved. And to say that she didn't have faith. If she'd had faith, she'd have been healed. Don't talk to me about guys like that, please. And learn before it gets too late. Anyway, we're talking about the description of this shield. The description, and we're talking about the matter of faith. And it has to do with faith in something. I mean someone. Get that right. It's faith in someone. And that is, the faith here is God. Faith in God. I believe God. Don't go putting your faith in something else. It means here in verse 16, it is, we're above all taking the shield of faith, that is faith, toward God. God. And if you can understand that, friends, that'll be a big outfit. Faith in God. And you know, if that's that is your shield. Some people don't have faith in God. They have faith in the dollar. They have faith in people. You need the faith in God. And that is through our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. And so here we are. This matter of the Lord. I know the Lord has in verse 16. He has given us a head. And our old heads, you know, we're designed to solve problems. Did you know that? Some of you are better than the rest of us, but to solve problems. But your head also is designed to trust and confidence in the Maker, the Creator, the Savior, and confidence in them. That is our blessed God. Well, otherwise, you want a little papier-mâché thing carrying around spiritually? Want a little paper shield? Say, I got my shield. You do. What's it made of? Well, it's made of paper, cardboard. What's that good for? Well, don't you see it looks just like it? It isn't worth spit. I don't want anything that. I want God's shield that protects us in time of need. I'll show you how dangerous it is if you don't have this shield. If you think this is child's play, this is not child's play. It's a very dangerous thing if you don't have God's shield. Well, how is it used? That's what we'd like to know. So, we've already talked about these flaming arrows being shot at you. How is it used? It's used to protect us from all kinds of enemies. This is spiritually speaking. Now, let me tell you a little bit about this shield. It protects them individually. Those soldiers have a shield for each one of them. I assume they would hold it in the left hand, and they crouch right behind it. You could fire away, and a flaming arrow come out at you. Those shields were dipped in water and lined on the outside with metal. It didn't bother. They bounce off of that. You talk about, if you think we got sophisticated armors and so forth, you think this one through. And I want to tell you something else. They had it arranged. They must have had pretty good blacksmiths. They had it arranged that they could hook it onto each other. Yes, I know what I'm talking about. I studied it. They could hook his shield and his shield right together. Now, can you visualize? Here comes an army, and they can hook it together, and they can also, those that are, think of a wall, four walls. It would look like a big tank coming towards the city. many cities gave up before it without even fighting, because they could go right up to the wall. They had it for their heads also. Just hold the shield right up, those guys in the middle. I'm telling you, it was something to really, I mean, to talk about power in those days. You thought those old things didn't amount to anything. It was very powerful, like a monster coming down. And these men were equipped and they were prepared. They had an armor that really worked. We'll get to the helmet and we'll get to the matter of the sword, the dagger that they also had. But I'm telling you how they used it. It interlocked. And it was collective. And I think about collective. If we need God's shield to protect us from spiritual dangers, we'll get into that. What dangers do we have to have a shield, God's shield? I'll get into that in a few minutes. But listen, to be interlocked together. You know, I'm a local church man. And I just think that's just good. I got excited about it. When people get together and worship the Lord and love the Lord Jesus, and God saves them and gives them an armor, and they put it on, and they put it on, and they read the Word of God, and they pray together and for one another, and they meet together, and they're going to be a force for God, collectively interlocking their shields together. I'm telling you, that's a power. As it was the looks of an army that was all interlocked together on the sides and even in the middle. What did they care about? Flaming irons dipped in pitch. It didn't do them any harm at all. We have a power that God gives. He said, it's me. I am your shield. Do you have me? You know, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ savingly, you don't have a shield. No, you do not. You do not have a shield, and you're open to destruction because the devil wants to destroy you. And I mean physically also. Destroy you spiritually and physically. He's in a business, and he has his cohorts, he has his demons, these darks. We talked about this matter. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. It's against principalities. These are demonic things. Against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. If you don't have the blessed Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, you don't have a shield, and you're wide open to be taken care of by the devil. But he also wants to destroy Christians. Those of you who are sitting here this morning say, well, I'm not worrying about too much. I know the Lord. Don't bother me. I'm going to tell you something. You better get and understand what it means to have this shield, and you'll be talking to the owner of it, the one who gave it to you, so that you'll have trouble in this life. You know, we go to Hebrews 11 and say, look at all those great heroes of the Bible. You read that 11th chapter. Heroes of the Bible, great men and women of God, did they have a life of ease? No. Do you expect that you're going to have a life of ease if you mean business for God? No, you're going to have problems. You better listen up to this. How you can protect that using God's shield in this passage before us. We need to see it. But something to block out something. Shields are to block out. Block out. Flaming arrows. Spiritually, what's a flaming arrow? Well, if you take the whole Bible as it is, it talks about these different different things that are like flaming arrows. So what are some of them? Well, a flaming arrow could be a temptation. Yeah, we're all tempted, you know that? And if you don't use God's shield, you may really fall. Didn't say lose your salvation, but you may fall flat on your face and be a disappointment to all your family and yourself. What did that? Temptation. Verse 16 has to do with all outside. Outside, not inside. I know where we are, the inside. I'm not going to talk about inside. This has to do with an outwardness. And it's talking about these outward things are here to destroy you. It's a war. It's the whole idea that we're in a spiritual warfare. A lot of people don't know that. But this passage is telling us, you better believe it, because there's an armor they had, and they had their armor, six pieces, and so great was those, that armor for those Roman soldiers. And God says, all right, now you understand that, don't you? Yeah, I understand that. All right, I want to tell you what it means spiritually. This is a shield of faith. All right? And so when we get shot at with temptations, we get shot at with hatred or envy, anger, covetousness. I wrote down something. Doubts. Does God really say that? I mean, is it really true? This idea of pride for Christians. I tell you something. Some Christians are proud. What are they proud of? Well, they're proud of the fact that they're religious people and they go to church and they tithe. And boy, they give the things they give there. They're really proud. That's the old devil say, that's right. Let him just think about it. It's all him. I'll get him. Our Lord was tempted. Yes, he was. 40 days without anything to eat. The devil tried to just give him some bread. But he had a shield. We need guards to guard us individually and collectively as a church. I don't have an inferiority complex about this church, but we are small. We're not very impressive, I'll tell you that. And now, what do you mean, you don't think I'm impressive? Yeah, I think you're impressive. I really do. I'm not just saying that. But I want to say to you, if you're looking at the size and bigness and impressiveness, it's not here. But I'll tell you one thing. I verily believe in the depths of my heart as an old preacher that God would like to really mess us up. And you know, the devil can mess us up if we don't interlock our shields together. Get a thing gone with gossip. Yeah, get a thing going with gossip. It's not true. And it can ruin churches. I tell you, we need God's shield to protect us individually and collectively. This is a great passage. And I want to tell you something. You say, well, the devil wants to destroy you. Yep, he does. I want to show you a beautiful verse. You want to go back a couple books to Romans 8? You say, I know what it is. I do too. But it's so beautiful. You see, I mean, you got me upset. No, I don't want to upset you. If you know the Lord Jesus, no, getting you upset. Look at verse 1 of it, Romans 8. Isn't that a precious verse? Go back a couple of books. What is it? There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah for that. No condemnation. The old devil, he can't condemn me. He might give me a toss. And he's out to get me, but I tell you, it says there's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. A Spirit-filled Christian? A Spirit-controlled Christian? Hey, we got some work to do. This means, friends, we got to be serious about it. We need to be fortified. Are you fortified in the truth? Do you take time to do any praying? Do you take time to do the reading the Bible? Do you take time to go to church? I tell you, we try to give full messages 3 times a week. I tell you, you know, if you want something, we try to give you something. We need all we can get. Oh, but he can penetrate our minds if we don't have this shield. And when you get penetrated with one of his fiery darts, one of those things. Yes. Well, friends, I know this. If it's external, if it's on the outside that's penetrating us and trying to do away with us, I know the Bible says that evil communication corrupts good manners. And so if I see some evil things and I just kind of say, well, that's the way it is, and I just don't let it worry about it. Everybody's doing it. Everything's good. I can do. God created everything good, so I can do anything I want to. It's all good. No, 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 no. That philosophy is dead wrong. Because there are people who run around like that. God said everything was good, and so therefore whatever we do, it doesn't make any difference. Oh, shall we sin that grace may abound? God forbid. No, no, no. We've already seen that. But I want to say this. How do we really get prepared? What is it? Shield is trust in God. Yes. Trusting in the Lord. And get that shield ready. Because the fiery arrows are going to be blamed at you. You'll say, I don't think I have any problem. You wait and see. Your confidence will go down the drain. You say, I don't know what's the matter. Can't figure this thing out. Why is this thing coming up in my mind? I want to tell you something. I had an old boss one time. He said, we had two of us were preachers who worked for a tree surgeon. He'd say, hey, you guys up there, I got to tell you something. If you don't experience sin, how are you going to preach on it? We'd say, hey, boss, you don't have to experience it to preach on it. It's the Word of God. Yeah. You guys have to learn how to do it. Nah. And so we'd go on like that. I want to tell you something. I've experienced what it is to be shot down with a spiritual flaming arrow. And I would venture to say some of you are having problems too. What is it that's really causing you a problem? Why is it sticking in there? I said, my God is my shield. I am not condemned. I'm in Christ Jesus. I am told to confess it. And I'm told to be obedient to the Lord. I'm told to be serious about it, not just a Sunday morning Christian. Make sure I make my calling and election sure whether I really am a saved person. Brethren, it's that close. It's that difficult. Now, I tell you, and I use this properly, when all hell breaks out, and it can in your life, in mine, you better have God's shield of righteousness, God's shield of faith. It can happen. Well, you say, I don't believe that. I believe God's going to take care of me, yes. But it also talks about the evil day in verse 13. You better take a look at that. That's a pretty serious thing. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor. I need the whole armor. Don't leave any of the six pieces off, spiritually speaking, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, as I said, remember the Alamo. They stood. I know they got defeated, but that's the attitude a Christian has to have, to stand when the evil day comes. In our Thanksgiving time, we had pop-up thankfulness. One person popped up and said, in our family, we haven't had a death. What do you think I thought of first? This point-on man wants to die. We have an appointment. There's going to be some deaths. You see why? I'm almost through 2009. I'm still here. Yeah. How wonderful. It's time to be born, the time to die. That's what Ecclesiastes says. I want to tell you something. It's an evil day. It'll tear you up. I'm already crying in my heart to see any of you pass away. You say, well, I'm a Christian. Well, I'll rejoice in that, but I'll miss you. But I want to say this. If you don't have salvation in Jesus Christ, you do not have a shield. You are wide open to the enemy to destroy you. You say, well, he hasn't yet. I'm telling you, he wants to destroy you. And if you're a Christian, he wants to get rid of you too. And if you're one that's committed, he especially wants to get rid of you. I'll tell you something else. If you're worried about the devil, let me tell you this. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ personally, and I get this, if you don't know him personally, God says, you're at enmity with me. What? You and I are at odds. I created you, but you do not obey me. You have not turned from your sins. You don't see that you're a lost sinner. You don't see the need of Jesus Christ dying on the cross for your sins. And you have not received me as your Savior. And we are enemies. We're enemies. Enemies with God. Yes. And you break his laws. You violate the laws of God. And it makes it even more. His wrath is upon those who do not know Christ. I want that to be removed. I want reconciliation. I want forgiveness. I want God's protection upon me. If I have to go through evil times, I want God to be with me. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. He'll be with me. And that's why you can read some of the books of the martyr and you say, that can't be. It just is not so. That those people went to be burned singing, and they were singing as their flesh was being burned. It just isn't so. It is so. That's what you need, and that's what I need, friends. And I just want to say to you, is God your enemy? Or is God your Savior, your friend? Who walks with you and talks with you and tells you that you're his. It's a war. Don't give up. Don't surrender to the devil. Don't give in to him. He said, if you listen to me, you won't have to listen to the old preacher and the word of God. You listen to me, I'll give you a great time. Yeah, I will. Let you do anything you want to do. And you'll live a great life. I'll even take care of you financially. I'll give you everything. If you listen to me, you die and go to hell. That's not good at all. And there are people who are listening to him and they're dying. I wonder if you know anything about Onward Christian Soldiers. Yeah, I've sung that already. I wonder if you've sung some of these hymns, if you've sung them with understanding. Yeah, I kind of get the idea there is Christian soldiers, yes. And I understand that Christian soldiers need to be well-equipped. And God says, I'll give you my armor. And I'll protect you. And I'll protect you by giving you a shield. But you get that shield ready. You get that shield polished up. Rather than polish the old car up, or polish the old pots and pans, girls, get that shield polished good and shiny. So when the fiery darts aimed at us to do sidetrack us and do us away, they'll bounce off. I ask you this. Are you part of God's army? Are you part of the army, the other side, the devil's side? You may be a nice person. I believe all of you are. But if you don't have Christ, you're not on the right side. You're not on the right side. Go tell God about it. Tell him you want forgiveness. Receive Jesus Christ's work at the cross. And know him as a Savior.
Thank you for listening to this recording from the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church of Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania. We trust that it will have a lasting and eternal blessing to you. We would encourage you to visit us at 325 Yetter Road, Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania, or by way of our website at www.localchurchpa.com. That's www.localchurchpa.com. For further information, please call us at 570-546-6859 or email us at email@localchurchpa.com.